This is Audible.
All marketers are liars. The Power of Telling Authentic Stories in a Low-Trust World by Seth Godin. Read by the author. Don't just tell me the facts. Tell me a story instead. Be remarkable. Be consistent. Be authentic. Tell your story to people who are inclined to believe it. Marketing is powerful. Use it wisely. Live the lie. The highlights. I have no intention of telling you the truth. Instead, I'm going to tell you a story. This is a story about why marketers must forsake any attempt to communicate nothing but the facts and must instead focus on what people believe and then work to tell them stories that add to their worldview. Make no mistake, this is not about tactics or spin or little things that might matter. This is a whole new way of doing business. It's a fundamental shift in the paradigm of how ideas spread. Either you're going to tell stories that spread, or you will become irrelevant. At the beginning of this program, I'll explain what this whole program's about, and then we'll take it apart bit by bit from the beginning so you can learn how to tell stories too. In the beginning, there was the story. Before marketing, before shopping carts, and long before infomercials, people started telling themselves stories. We noticed things. We noticed that the sun rose every morning, and we invented a story about Helios and his chariot. People got sick, and we made up stories about humors and bloodletting, and we sent them to the barber to get well. Stories make it easier to understand the world. Stories are the only way we know to spread an idea. Marketers didn't invent storytelling. They just perfected it. You're a liar. So am I. Everyone is a liar. We tell ourselves stories because we're superstitious. Stories are shortcuts we use because we're too overwhelmed by data to discover all the details. The stories we tell ourselves are lies that make it far easier to live in a very complicated world. We tell stories about products, services, friends, job seekers, the New York Yankees, and sometimes even the weather. We tell ourselves stories that can't possibly be true, but believing those stories allows us to function. We know we're not telling ourselves the whole truth, but it works, so we embrace it. We tell stories to our spouses, our friends, our bosses, our employees, and our customers. Most of all, we tell stories to ourselves. Marketers are a special kind of liar. Marketers lie to consumers because consumers demand it. Marketers tell the stories, and consumers believe them. Some marketers do it well. Others are pretty bad at it. Sometimes the stories help people get more done, enjoy life more, and even live longer. Other times, when the story isn't authentic, it can have significant side effects, and consumers pay the price. The reason all successful marketers tell stories is that consumers insist on it. Consumers are used to telling stories to themselves and telling stories to each other. And it's just natural to buy stuff from someone who's telling us a story. People can't handle the truth. George Riedel is a liar. George is a 10th generation glassblower, an artisan pursuing an age-old craft. I'm told he's a very nice guy, and he's very good at telling stories. His company makes wine glasses and scotch glasses, whiskey glasses, espresso glasses, and even water glasses. He and his staff fervently believe that there's a perfect and different shape for every beverage. According to Riedel's website, quote, "The delivery of a wine's message, its bouquet and taste, depends on the form of the glass. It is the responsibility of a glass to convey the wine's messages in the best manner to the human senses." Thomas Matthews, the executive editor of Wine Spectator magazine, said, "Everybody who ventures into a Riedel tasting starts as a skeptic. I did." The skepticism doesn't last long. Robert Parker Jr., the king of wine reviewers, said, "The finest glasses for both technical and hedonistic purposes are those made by Riedel. The effect of these glasses on fine wine is profound. I cannot emphasize enough what a difference they make." Parker and Matthews and hundreds of other wine luminaries are now believers. And as a result, they are Riedel's best word-of-mouth marketers. Millions of wine drinkers around the world have been persuaded that a $200 bottle of wine, or a cheap bottle of $2 chuck, tastes better when served in the proper Riedel glass. Tests done in Europe and the United States have shown that wine experts have no trouble discovering just how much better wine tastes in the correct glass. Presented with the same wine in both an ordinary kitchen glass and the proper Riedel glass, they rarely fail to find that the expensive glass delivers a far better experience. This is a breakthrough. A $5 or $20 or $500 bottle of wine can be radically improved by using a relatively inexpensive and reusable wine glass. And yet, when the proper tests are done scientifically, double-blind tests that eliminate any chance that the subject would know the shape of the glass, there is absolutely zero detectable difference between glasses. A $1 glass and a $20 glass deliver precisely the same impact on the wine. None. So what's going on? Why do wine experts insist that the wine tastes better in a Riedel glass at the same time that scientists can easily prove that it doesn't? The flaw in the experiment, as outlined by Daniel Zwerdling in Gourmet magazine, is that the reason the wine tastes better is that people believe it should. This makes sense, of course. Taste is subjective. If you think the pancakes at the IHOP taste better, then they do, because you want them to. Riedel sells millions of dollars worth of glasses every year. He sells glasses to intelligent, well-off wine lovers who then proceed to enjoy their wine more than they ever did before. Marketing, apparently, makes wine taste better. Marketing, in the form of an expensive glass and the story that goes with it, has more impact on the taste of wine than oak casks or fancy corks or the rain in June. George Riedel makes your